Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and one of the things that we almost never ever talk about on this program is finance, handling money, money matters, things like that. A, because you can get that everywhere else on half the cable channels and all the news channels ever since the recession. There's always 10 different stories every night about how you can save money at the grocery or what you should be doing about college planning and all that kind of thing. It bores the hell out of me usually, even though it's important stuff. And since you can get it everywhere else, I figure, why talk about that here? But this time we've got sort of a new angle. We have a money and finance expert who's going to be talking with us, but the fun part of our conversation with Denise Winston is going to be her experiences working at a bank for 25 years. Now, you work anywhere for 2.5 decades, you're going to have weird things, crazy stories, lunatic people that you're dealing with. I don't care if you work in the grocery. I don't care if you even work in, say, you know, a mortgage insurance place or the vault of a library. You're going to have some crazy, nutty, fun things that have happened. So I'm expecting to hear quite a few from our guest, our very chipper and delightful guest, Denise Winston. Denise, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, Dave. Thanks for having me. I love to talk about the fun things that have happened in the bank during my years at work. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
See, I told everybody she was chipper. There you go. So can you say, what bank were you at and what were you doing there for all those years?
What's great during that 25-year period is to know that acquisitions happen over a period of time. So basically for the past 25 years, I had worked for 12 different banks.
Oh my
I actually ended up resigning from Chase. It was acquired by WaMu, but Bank of America, First Interstate Bank, gosh, the list is quite extensive with 12 of them there.
So wait, Chase and WaMu, they just merged like last week. Because I went to the bank. Yeah, I know. I went to the bank, and I was kind of really excited because they had coffee and cookies and brownies on the table. Now, I mean, banks normally have coffee, but when I see cookies, this is an exciting thing for me because I lead such a sheltered and terrible life. So I'm seeing cookies. I'm like, what's going on? And he said, oh, well, we're celebrating because they're saying they just took over WaMu, not the other way around, or they merged or whatever it was. So this is recent, though.
They just did their conversion. The computer conversion happened, so it was where actually the online banking took place and everything was converted to the Chase systems, which can be a very interesting time inside the bank because so much is going on behind the scenes to make that seamless to the customers.
But you left or were excised or what's the deal? How long ago?
I left Chase in April of 2009 to actually pursue my own mission to actually make money matters fun and really talk to people about the stuff that they need to know, not this high finance, you know, commentator stuff that confuses people. I just want to teach people the basics and make money fun and sexy.
Well, sounds good to me. And by the way, I should mention, one of the reasons that I didn't go with that joke that you made of being 12 when you first started is this is radio, or at least audio on the computer, so people don't necessarily know what you look like, but you are very pretty, so I'll tell everybody that. You're very pretty and attractive, and therefore it is surprising that you've worked for 25 years and look so young. So now I've explained it.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, also explain, what are the two or three things that people should really know about what to do with their money, not even just in a recession time, but any time?
Well, number one, they need to understand the importance of their credit score and some simple strategies that they can use to actually manage that, because that's the three numbers that can dictate your life and can either cost you or save you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's the one thing I would say to make sure you pay attention to, and that includes making sure you make your payments on time. A lot of times we're very busy with mail and all kinds of things, so a bill might get misplaced underneath our child's artwork or something like that. We need to just make that one our number one priority, because in this day and age, you can dictate whether or not you get a job, whether or not you can rent an apartment, the price of any loans that you're going to get. So it is quite an often overlooked number in the economy that's happening now. Second thing I would say is if people can just really shop for a bank and make sure they're utilizing any free services like online bill pay at the bank or avoiding monthly service charges in addition to avoiding ATM fees. And the other one would just be simply be know how much your income is and how much you're spending each month. Once a year, sit down and run those numbers and make sure that you're not overdoing it in any area and try and build up a cash reserve. I know those are all things that everybody says have 6 months, but the reality is we don't all have 6 months of money in the bank and how to try and live life comfortably and make some good financial decisions.
I mean, the killer of it is a couple of things. First of all, you can go down and outline your finances, but in this economy, with people being downsized, you can try very desperately to live within your means, and it is still pretty much impossible for a lot of people to go beyond paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you can skim left and right and to the middle, and it's still, you know, it's not as easy as saying, well, maybe you're spending too much on this, or maybe you're not putting the right amount of money towards this. A lot of people just don't have it, period, and have to keep that rolling debt. It sucks, but it's true.
It is very true, and that's what I want to do. Is I want to be the reality check and say, okay, in certain circumstances, what's your, you know, what can you do? And really, the bottom line is we just need to survive and figure out smart ways and strategies to just live within our means and do what we can for the period that we have to recover.
Now, let me ask, on your one sheet, which is like the flyer that you hand out in order to, you know, to get out there and promote yourself and to get on radio and to get on television, the one thing that you talk about is making money sexy, since that, you know, gets people to hire you and talk to you. And you say the true cost of sex, the most overlooked financial implications of having nookie. Huh?
Yeah. You know, there's financial implications of that. And it's very interesting to think about. But when you think about it, if you are having sex, there is the cost of the date, right?
Oh, well. Oh, okay, yeah.
There is actually the cost of any form of birth control that's there. We have other costs of, you know, contracting other types of, you know, if you're going to have a child, then that is the most expensive cost. So a lot of times people really look at, they're not thinking about the financial implications of what having sex is going to be. The other thing is if you are in a good relationship and you are having sex, then you're probably much more healthy. Therefore, you're able to go out into the workforce, and if you're in a good state of being, you're probably going to be much more productive. So when you look at all of those, you have to think, in my world, every decision that I make somehow relates back to money.
Okay.
Every decision I make somehow influences my financial health. So to me, that's one of the things that people need to be thinking about if they are out having relations, whether they be protected or unprotected. There are additional costs that go along with that.
See, for me, usually the cost is about $50, you know, on the West Side Highway with a $3 tip. But that's
I did have somebody say, you know, it is, it's not the cost of a prostitute and it's not the cost of a condom. The gentleman that actually said that to me, believe it or not, had just gone to a 3-day pickup artist school to learn how to pick up chicks.
Yeah. How'd he do?
Well, he was trying to put his moves on me, and I can tell you he wasn't very successful. I don't think he was prepared to talk to someone about how much this conversation was really costing him.
How much, I wonder, how much did they charge for that seminar?
$1,200.
How much?
$1,200.
Woo! Okay. Well.
It was not cheap. And his first comment to me was that the true cost of sex was the cost of a condom. And after the conversation, I realized that it was really the cost of the date and also the cost of the workshop that he had just gone to for 3 days.
Well, talk about weird. See, this leads us right into weird, interesting people that you've probably come across. I'm talking to Denise Winston, by the way, on Dave's Gone By, who had been in the banking industry for about 25 years. Now, you figure banking would be so dull and boring and just numbers and computers, but as you said, there were some interesting things that happened, such as...
My favorite is, kind of goes with a financial clutter. A lot of times people have a lot of clutter, but this is how bad someone's clutter was. Client walked up to my window when I was in the bank. I was very young at the time, and she placed her handbag on the counter and proceeded to pull out her checkbook and wallet. Along with that came cockroaches crawling out over the edge of the purse all over my counter.
What did she say?
Her eyesight wasn't the best, and she didn't seem to even notice the crawling on her hand.
Okay, that is that maybe more than clutter. That could also be at a certain point senility or I don't or just bad hygiene. I don't know.
It was the most frightening thing to ever. So you can imagine now my person's immaculate. So I actually teach that as a subject. When you're going somewhere, you don't want to open your handbag and have things falling out everywhere, including roaches.
But what happened when, did you jump up? Did you scream? Did you get the guard? Did you start stomping?
I jumped back.
Yeah.
And started, because one of them had gone down on the floor and I started stomping them. And pretty much after that, I think I just blacked out and, you know, ran to the supervisor at that point and, like, screamed. I'm sure I finished the transaction and continued on. But, of course, you know, going back in the break room, I had to gather myself back together. Because on top of that, I had a Snickers hidden back behind the cubby that I was eating in between clients, and you can bet that went in the trash.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Now, you also mentioned that someone came into the bank at one point and had something else crawl out, not from their purse, but...
Yes, well... I was actually the manager at the time, and I'm sitting there interviewing the client for getting a loan, and she's there with her spouse, and she's a middle-aged woman, and she has a lot of hair, and it's very curly, and it's long down to about, you know, the mid of her back. So we're sitting there talking, and the next thing you know, I see from behind her neck a rat crawl down between her breast and rest around her stomach.
Oh.
And I about... died. I screamed.
Yeah.
And come to find out this was her pet that lives on her body.
Okay. Now let me ask you, did this woman and her husband appear completely normal until that moment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they did. I had no idea. And you know, that's the most interesting thing. When you're working in a bank, you don't know what someone might have in their handbag or what their situation is. When you think about it, when you're at the grocery and you're checking out, you can see what somebody has in the grocery cart, right?
Yeah.
You can get a kind of an idea of what kind of lifestyle they're living. But when someone's at the bank, you don't know what their, you know, financial baggage is or what any other baggage or what might be actually on their person.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
And
now,
come in all shapes and sizes and creeds, correct?
Well, yeah.
It taught me to just understand that everybody has something that's very near and dear to them, and just because it's different doesn't make it wrong. It just is, you know, I've heard that rats are a fantastic pet.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
the tail was just gross. It was just icky to me.
I mean, we had, when we first moved here a couple of months ago, we would wake up in the morning and we had noticed, I guess, that there was a mouse in the house. And it's just, I mean, I'm sure they're really adorable around here. We saw one in the street. But the idea of a mouse in our house that is not our pet, I mean, immediately the mouse traps went up. You know, we had our dogs on alert. Like, if you see it, bark! You know, as if our dogs would understand what we're telling them to do. But, hasn't made his presence felt. But then again, we tended to wrap our snacks and things a little more carefully after that. But,
yes, you just never know when you're sitting there watching television and see something run across the floor.
Did anybody ever try to bring another kind of weird animal? I'm not talking like a seeing eye dog, but anybody ever bring a potbelly pig?
Said that. I can tell you most recently, just before I resigned at the bank, I was sitting at the desk and a woman walked in with a wolf.
What?
It was a real wolf, and she was using it as her dog.
Okay. And she brought it into the bank. She didn't, like, tie it up outside at the parking
lot. No. She brought it in like a service dog. It had on a, what you would call, like, a little vest, and it said service dog. It wasn't an official service dog, but you could look at this dog, what she was, presenting as a dog. It was clearly a wolf. It had a very distinct look, act about it. It was very tame.
Oh, okay.
However, it will put you on guard because you know it's not a dog.
Well, I mean, I would be on guard even if it was a pit bull dog. I mean, there's some dogs you got to be on guard about anyway, but did she finish her transaction and or did you tell her, bring the wolf outside and then come back?
No. You know, of course, I am a dog lover, so I had to engage in conversation and ask her specifically, you know, you think it's a wolf, but you have to ask. just to confirm your suspicion. And she did confirm that, yes, it was a wolf, and it was her service dog. She did live up in the mountains. And I didn't get the further details of where she acquired this animal or how it became tame. And
is that legal for her? Is that actually legal for a person, even in the mountains, to have a guard wolf, a service wolf, as it were?
It was a question that I did have. However, I did not get answered because I had to conduct the rest of the transaction the office. That's the one thing about, you know, working in the public and working in the financial services industry. You are open during a period of time, and you are at the client's beck and call. And when things like this come up, you address them and you move on. We've had lots of things happen within the lobby, and you just never know. Being robbed is one of them.
I was going to ask about that. I figure 25 years at a bank, you would have witnessed or been, or been close part of, in a manner of speaking, a robbery. What was that like?
Well, two of them, some of them are quite humorous, but I'll tell you the humorous one first, and then I have a very serious one, which was quite frightening, but it had a little laughter in it. There was a guy, I worked in a very small community, and we had a bank, and we actually got robbed by a guy on his bicycle wearing a t-shirt with red flames going down it. And he walked in and he passed a note. It was a very, you either have note passer robberies or you have takeover robberies or somewhere in between. And this guy was a note passer.
Yeah.
And he basically came in, got the money, and
Quick question, hold on. He came in, did it look like he had any kind of a weapon?
No.
Why wouldn't the guard
just say, this is a robbery, give me the money?
Well, why give him the money? Why not just have the guard sort of shoot him or pounce on him?
Well, because you don't want to jeopardize the client's or your health or safety, anybody else's health and safety. And you never know if someone does actually have a gun. And you don't know about their mental stability. So there's a lot of different things that are taken into consideration when you're under those circumstances.
So you gave him the dough, he went out the door, and
He hopped on his bicycle,
yeah,
and he's pedaling down the street, and you call the cops, and it's a very easy description to give. There's a gentleman on a bicycle, about 45 years old, wearing a red t-shirt with flames on it, and he's riding his bicycle northbound.
So that was my mistake. I should have changed my t-shirt as soon as I got outside the bank. I don't know.
He was truly looking for a three hots and a cot, as the police said. He was just looking to be arrested to be placed back in jail so they'd have a place to sleep and food to eat.
So when he passed the note, how much money did they give him?
Well, it's always an undisclosed amount.
Oh, okay.
And I can't, unfortunately, reveal those things within the industry, even though I'm no longer in the industry. I want to protect those that are in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you go into the vault and start handing them all.
Oh, gosh, no.
What happened
What's really interesting on that note is, the banks really don't carry a lot of money. When people come into the bank and they want to withdraw large sums, if you think about it, it's not an unlimited supply. You don't keep cash on hand. Because, number one, you're not earning interest on it, and number two, there are costs associated with actually funneling money, not funneling, but transferring money in and out. You've got to make sure it's just like supply and demand. If you had groceries on the counter, you've got to make sure that you have what you need.
So the other robbery that you endured, and that's certainly the word for it, was not so amusing.
It was not. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it was daylight in California. And a gentleman, not a gentleman, but a masked man in broad daylight walks in, and he is covered from head to toe. He has a mask on. He has gloves on. You cannot tell his race, his age. There's no markings. The only thing you hear is his voice, and he has a gun in his hand, and it is a real gun. You can tell when a gun is real and when it's not real. So he walks into the bank, and he's, pointing the gun around and telling everybody to get down on the ground. And there's a lobby full of clients. And so, some people hit the floor immediately, and I'm just standing there because you're kind of like the parent trying to decide what needs to happen, and it just happens with you. But he goes to the tellers, and he points the gun at him and hands them the bag and says, give me all your large and 20s. Well, the teller says, you want it, you're getting it all. So she gives him everything, including her rolled coin and you name it. And so the guy, you know, he wants to get away with a very light load, so he gave him his change and everything. And then there was one really large employee that we had, and he said hit the ground, and I'm telling you, this girl was on the floor.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of the girls, it was her second day at work.
And last time.
Did not come back.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. So he grabbed this incredibly heavy sack of money and change and left?
And he left. And here's the really interesting part. He did leave. The scary thing for the person that's been robbed is that for a long period of time, since you couldn't tell, you know, how old he was or what he looked like, you just hear his voice. When you're in the mall and you hear somebody talking, you think it's his voice, you hear it, and then every time you answer the phone, you're quite, you know, afraid.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. One thing I could tell about him is that he had been in the military based on the way that he spoke with authority and his command. It's interesting what you can hear from somebody and recognize just in their voice. But about 2 months later, he actually ended up shooting himself and committed suicide during another robbery, and it was in Orange City.
Oh, lovely. Well, how did they know it was him? It was the same modus operandi, or
yeah, it was the same situation, and there was some other connections that when they did their investigation, that they were able to tell who was who, and they did confirm. And it's kind of like, ah, the witch is dead. It was a huge sigh of relief for everybody on staff.
Right on.
He was actually gone. It was no longer going to be an issue.
Huh. That's a horrible, but it's a great story. I'd rather go out on something a little more amusing and humorous, though. Any other fun, wild, kooky, zany clients, customers, or colleagues?
Go ahead.
Or colleagues. It could also be your people you've worked with over the past 45 years. Just nutty stuff.
Well, I can tell you one of the cutest things that I had happen in my 25 years is I had a little old lady come into the bank, and she had her check register, and she would go to the grocery every week, and what she would do at the grocery to hide money from her husband was she would write the check for $10 more than the actual grocery so she could save money to buy her husband a birthday and Christmas gift.
Oh.
Where she came up with the money. Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah. Oh, but I want 20. Sweet is cute, but I'm not a sweet guy. I'm a pretty, you know, nasty, goofy guy. So give me something more funny.
Okay, well, this is really awful, but I did have a lady lift her dress and relieve herself on the chair.
Oh, no.
I was on the phone with a back office support department.
Yeah.
And I told them, nicely, you know, I really need to go right now, and we were in a very serious issue trying to fix something, and they said, well, what could be so important? I said, well, and I explained, and they just couldn't believe it, because a lot of times people from back office may not realize what's going on in the front office and how urgent a situation might be, like someone exposing themselves and urinating on the floor.
Now, did she apologize? Did she...
I don't know. I do believe that she was actually intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. And again, these things just happen. You just don't know when and where something's going to happen. You can look at somebody and they're perfectly fine, and the next thing you know, maybe they're not.
Oh, I mean, it's totally true. I was talking to one of the waiters at a deli back on Long Island, and he said, oh, he's been there for years and years, and stuff happens. And there was a woman... sitting down, they were eating, and I think it was an older lady who may have had control issues, as it were, and suddenly there's a puddle right by the table. Not everybody can make it to the loo or wants to. So, although I did not see that with my own eyes or smell it.
I can tell you, they do happen, and we've even had some even more disgusting things, which I won't go into.
Oh, yes, you must. Did somebody defecate?
We did have a gentleman that did have that control issue, but he also was having, it was not urine.
He left a deposit?
he did leave a deposit at the bank, a very liquidy deposit, in the chair.
Yeah.
That he couldn't get up. And so we had to figure out how to get him out without having even more of an issue.
So he had
semi. We decided to get a rolling chair and put his feet in a trash bag to the restroom. And then we had to dispose of the chair. And if you can imagine, everybody in the location is really having a fit. Reaction of disgust. And it was really a very difficult, you know, one of those times where you go, I can't believe I'm laughing, but what do you do with yourself when you can't? It's just a very difficult position to be in, but you have to do, I have a thing, professionals act as they must, not as they feel.
Well, oh yeah. And besides, everybody has different liquid assets, you know.
Oh my gosh, you are so bad.
I know,
so
I know.
Bad.
But you have been really, really good, Denise Winston. It's been absolutely so much fun. See, I told everybody, I told you all, that she would be chipper and delightful, and even though it's all about money and finance and banking, we have a hell of a time. Well, didn't we? But I do want, Denise, please, to tell us how people can find out about what you do and to get more of your advice and to contact you if they need to, or at least read your stuff.
They can actually go to moneystarthere.com or denisewinston.com. And I do provide corporate wellness in the workplace where we do workshops, because a lot of times what happens is when people are not financially well, and I call it being financially sick, it does spill over into every aspect of their life. And I am about the basics. I have no get-rich schemes, no quick, you know, anything. I'm just about the basics. And I have programs for teens and young adults. I have programs for adults, and I have programs for parents. Again, just teaching the basics, trying to make money something that's fun and light, not where people roll over their eyes and it's the same old thing that everybody's heard. And what I do is best is I entwine these stories about real life experiences and keep it interesting and fun, because life is interesting and fun, and we can have a great time. We just have to figure out how to do it.
Well, you figured it out perfectly for this program. Remember, everybody, it's moneystarthere.com, or probably easier to remember even, denisewinston.com, spelled exactly as you think it would be spelled. Denise, I want to wish you your best of luck with the consulting, with all your projects, and with your money and your finances in this time. And if you have any more great stories from past or future, please, please do come back to the neighborhood and share them with us.
I will do absolutely that. You and your listeners have a fantastic afternoon. Enjoy the savings.